15th. All right, Bill, could you get this podium right over here for me and bring it down here? I'm going to speak down here tonight. I want to be close to you guys. I want to be able to share my heart with some things. It's right down here. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that. Thank you very, very much. Just want to be as close to you as I can. I want to share my heart tonight, and I want to be very caring and understanding. I mentioned to you this morning, we all know that we live in a world that is very confused, don't we? By the way, tonight, I want your feedback. I want you to communicate. I want to know you're awake, and I want to know you're with me, okay? It's super important. We are living in a world that is very confused. A number of years ago, I listened to a message just online. I heard a preacher preach a message. His name is Pastor Wayne Hardy. He preached a message at the Victory Conference, been to some of the Victory Conferences out in Wisconsin. Dave and Andrew, were you guys there when he preached that message? Yeah, they were there. It was back in 2021. Preached a message, which I'm not going to try to preach it. I will say this, that a number of things that I'm going to share with you this evening are going to come from that. Some will be, you know, on my own, but there was a lot of things in that message that really stuck out, and I want to share some of these things with you. It's very important that we, you know, I don't understand why we have the problem differentiating between the genders. Do you agree with me? Like, I don't know why we're struggling with this. This doesn't, am I missing something? You know, and I might sound facetious. I'm really asking the question because I don't get it, do you? I don't get, honestly, why our world is so confused. And you might argue, are they really confused? You know, I don't necessarily know that initially they are confused. I think if you would backtrack 50 years, I think that these people, if they were living back then, I don't think they would have been confused, but I think there's been some things in the world that have slowly slipped that I really think maybe today they are confused. You know, you hear and see something so much that you eventually believe it. You know, if somebody tells you that your dog is a cat, when you first hear it, you're going to say no. You know, and you would disagree with me, but if you hear it for 50 years, every day, 155 times, I know some of you are sitting there, I still won't believe it. But there must be some truth to it. Because they're believing it. Now, tonight, I'm not preaching to the world. What good does it do for a preacher to get up and rant and rave about the world? The world's not here, and they're not going to listen. I do want to preach to you, though, and in fact, let me take that out. I don't want to preach to you tonight. I'd really like to share some truths from God's Word. And I feel that the Word of God would be accomplished tonight if it would get you to think. That's my goal. I want you to think biblically. We believe that the confusion is absurd. How did they come to this level of thinking? Let's take our Bibles and go to a foundational verse, Genesis chapter 1. You understand that Genesis is a book of foundations. What book of the Bible is the world most quickly trying to get rid of? Why? Go ahead and speak. Why would Genesis be a wonderful book to get rid of from their perspective? Proclaims God is the creator. That's right. What else?
Man is the creator.
Man is the created.
If God is the
creator. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think all these things are good. If God is not our creator, if God's not our authority, then, well, I guess we could be our authority. Isn't that what the world is wanting today? To be their own authority? To say what they want to say? Yeah. So Genesis would be a wonderful book to get rid of in their minds, and I think that they're trying to do that. I mean, honestly, no, there was no creation. There was no flood. There was no... Let's get rid of the events. If we can question Genesis, then we can question authority. And if we can question authority, then I'm made, because I can do what I want. Which is very dangerous, of course, for us to do what we want. What would happen to us if we did what we want? We would self-destruct. That's a law of humanity. We would destroy ourselves if we lived the way we wanted to. If we followed our flesh into everything, we would end up in trouble quickly, very quickly. You take a look at the world and you say, how did this young individual get into the thick of things so quickly? Because there was no authority, there was no restraint. Do what you want to do and you will destroy yourself. It's imagine the age of some people. You might look at a young lady in her 20s and might think that she's 50 already. Which, that's very young, by the way. I'm getting close to 50, so. When God created the world, He did it with a purpose. A unique purpose. Now, Genesis chapter 1 is extremely foundational. I mean, it's the first chapter of Genesis. So there's going to be some amazing things established in Genesis 1. One of the nuggets of truth and foundation is in verse 27. Let's look at verse 27. And let's see for ourselves this evening some very important truths. So God created man. What's the next four words? Three words? Okay. It was four words. In His own image. God created man, and you understand that in this verse, when he says man, you are understanding that he's talking about mankind. Okay? He didn't just create the man in his image. In fact, when you look at the rest of the verse, you see that that cannot be the case. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of who? God. Created he him. And who is that? Male and female. Created he them. Number one, who is the creator? God. God. Please listen. This is God's plan. It's God's plan to create mankind. What a mistake. Look at us. No, it was no mistake. God doesn't make mistakes. God's creation was perfect. God created mankind. That was God's plan. And he says here in this verse that he created man in his own image. What is that trying to say? That God created mankind in his own image. Somebody tell me, what's his purpose in stating that? He created mankind in his image. Okay, to be like him. That's good. There's more to it, but that's good. To be like him. Okay, so we are created in his image. Is it any animal that he created that animal in his image? Folks, please look at this because these are foundational things that fly in the face of the world and worldly philosophies today. God never created a dog in his image. You can love a dog. There's nothing wrong with that. But that dog is not created in God's image. And God didn't create that dog necessarily to show us about God himself. Now, you could argue, you know, maybe the uniqueness, and of course, all creation speaks to God. But we don't look to the dog necessarily. But we look at mankind because it's his image. There's kind of a flip side to something that Carol said, okay? What would that be? She was right. But there's something more to that. Could he have created us so that the world could picture God? When the world sees man, the world is supposed to see God. He created mankind in his image. After his image. That would be a good way to state that when it says in his image, after his image. So, God is not a person. He's not a being, so we can't necessarily picture him. But if we could, and we would almost want to argue with this. But if we could picture him, it would be through what? Well, Jesus, which Jesus was a man. Now, that's hard for us to kind of swallow a little bit. It's like, I can't. But you can, because that's what he chose to do. He chose to give a physical picture of himself to the world through you. Isn't that an amazing responsibility? I don't really like that responsibility, do you? So I'm supposed to be a picture. Now that was our theme last year, wasn't it? We are supposed to be some sort of revelation to the world. And of course, it really matters how we act then. Wow, because I'm a picture. So in this verse, we see that God created mankind in his image so that we would be image bearers of God. So if we are to get a picture of God, we look to mankind. Mankind as it was created. Now we understand that mankind ruined and blotted the picture when mankind chose to sin, right? You understand that? It marred the picture. And so, the world does not see God as accurately as they should see it. And every time that we sin, we I don't want to say mess up, but we mar that picture. And it just becomes altogether more difficult for the world to see God. Every time you choose to do things your way rather than God's way, we change the picture. And people get more confused about who God is. Am I making sense so far? I really want to make sense, and this is my prayer. I've put prayer to this. In fact, most of the song service, I was up there just praying, Lord, help me, give me the words. I believe this is very important. Okay, so you're with me so far. God, in his perfect will, and I'm being very human in my thoughts here. I'm not saying God did this, but it's almost as if God is thinking, okay, what can I do to give the best picture of who I am to the world? Okay, here's the best way. I'm going to create mankind. Mankind is going to be a picture of me. And the world is going to see me through mankind. Did the verse stop there? So how does the verse end? So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. So God chose to use mankind as a picture. But obviously God knew that just man, a general mankind, would not, listen please, would not delineate his character enough just to be mankind. It would be too broad. It would not be specific enough to just have mankind. For example, if there was just one gender. Now, we all understand that I can't even picture what world would be like with one gender. We don't know how it would work. And that's fair, because there's no such thing as one gender. You understand that's foundational? There's no such thing. There's no premise to even talk about one gender. We know nothing of it. It's completely out of this world. You're still following? There's nothing in this world about one gender. And God, even though God in his magnificent wisdom knew that mankind was the best picture of him, listen to this because it's so important. He knew that it had to be more distinct than mankind. He would best be pictured male, female. And when male and female were created, he said, there it is. That is the perfect picture of me. I don't exactly know how that all plays out. What about a male does God have? Well, God's not a body, so we can throw out the body parts. He is a spirit, but there are certain things about a male that God would have. But we always think about God in the male side, and we never think about the female. Now, hold on. I'm not asking you to picture him as a female, because it would be wrong. There's nothing physical about God except for the person of Jesus Christ. So we're not making God female. Don't walk away here tonight thinking that I'm saying that. But females as well as males picture who God is, picture his image. Is it not true that both male and female complement each other? Are there certain characteristics that are important about humanity that males have? Picture a world filled with all females. Now again, I understand that we don't really know anything about that because that's not the way God created it. We really don't know what it would be like. But ladies, don't take offense to this. We would be lacking. Now I'll say the same thing with mankind. If it was male, all males, 100% males, the results would be the same. We would be very lacking. And see, God in his amazing wisdom knew that. And if he would have just created males, it would not have been a clear picture of him. If he would have only created females, it would not have been an accurate picture of him. And so he created both, male and female. Created he them. Now, could God have added to the picture to even make it more complete? No. Wouldn't it have been better to have a third? No. Did you hear that? No. He did not create a neutral. He didn't create another plus. He didn't do it. The perfect picture of God is male and female. Perfect. Now, I just took a lot of time on that. But it is foundational. That was God's plan. So he created a male. He created a male in his manhood, and that man had to possess everything that a man ought to possess to accurately demonstrate the Father, God. Nothing lacking in this male. He wanted this male to be a man. Now, we as humans aren't all wise and all filled with knowledge. God created a man in his image. How do we know what that man is supposed to look like? What do we have that dictates what this man, this male, looks like? Anybody know? Jesus, that's a good answer. Jesus, that, he was a man. He was a man. And he was all male, okay? There's nothing female about him. More specific, what do we have? What do we have that tells us what a man ought to be like? Go ahead. I think you know it. Everybody see right here? If I want to know how to be the most manliest man I can be, where do I go? Right here. Do you know that the Bible is not lacking whatsoever in depicting what a man made after, made in the image of God, ought to look like? Now, I know that in America and in our world, the world depicts manhood in a unique way. If you're a man, and there's different types of men. If you're a man, you've got to drive this sort of a truck. If you're a man, you've got to have this kind of a gun. If you're a man, you've got to be able to build this, or draw up this, or invent this. And the world has kind of given us this manhood. And folks, let me tell you something. That, just because you drive a big truck, have a big beard, shoot a big gun, listen, does not make you a biblical man. Now, our world teaches that, doesn't it? You're going to be a man, you got to... No. Now, there are some things that we ought to be as men. But we go to the Word of God to see what a man is. And this book defines for us what a godly man ought to be like. And although it is absolutely fine for a man to shoot a gun and to drive a truck, I'm telling you something, it's not in here. But I'll tell you, there's some characteristics in this book that tell us what men ought to be like. What husbands ought to be, what fathers ought to be, what leaders ought to be, what pastors ought to be, what deacons ought to be, whatever our God has given to us in life, God's Word has given everything. We know that because 2 Timothy 3 tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for all of life, everything. So God has made man, and He has given us a standard from His Word of what a biblical man ought to be like. Right here. And this is where he ought to be. And this is under the umbrella of God's Word. This is what a man ought to be. And this, right here, is the best picture of him. In combination with this perspective and this side. And over here we have female. Female. 100% female, whatever that means. All female. Man was taken care of. Listen, the man was taken care of over here. God took care of the man side of things. Completely. And God took care of the female side of things right over here. And He created a woman. And what do we have that tells us what a biblical woman ought to be like that would accurately display what God wants about His image? What did He give us? It's the same answer as the man's. What is it? God's Word. God's Word as our standard of what a biblical female ought to be like. and we take God's word, and ladies, we learn from God's word what this woman ought to be. And I'll tell you that God completely took care of his image with these two positions. Completely. And there's nothing missing. And this picture that's right up here, and we're going to designate this spot right here as this is what it means under the umbrella of God's word to me, 100% biblical woman that is accurately displaying who he is. And when this woman is at 100% of who she needs to be, 100% of who she needs to be, and this man over here is at 100% of who he needs to be, then the perspective back here, as we look at it, is there is God. Now, I'm not trying to say that we are God. I'm not trying to say that me and my wife, if we're up here standing, here we are, there's God. No, but it's a picture. It is the picture to the world of who God is. So there's his picture. And this is where God has made us. If you're a man, he has made you to be right here. If I'm standing in the same spot, right here. 100% man. I don't have to worry about that over there. I have to deal with this right here. And then, ladies, God put you all over here, and he made you 100% woman right here, right in this spot. He made you for that spot right there. And when you're 100% and he's 100%, then the world sees God. Isn't that neat how God put that plan together? And that's his plan, and it's perfect. And when it's lived out, there's going to be a great testimony of who God is. In a sense, you know, I know that no man can see God at any time. But remember, the verse goes on. But I did give them you. And through you, they can see me. Okay? So we scratch our heads and say, then why is the world so confused? Now I want you to think about that then. Why is the world so confused? Now I'm going to give you a little bit of a clue. Let me rewind. When mankind is 100% what God, under the umbrella of the Word of God, designed him to be, and ladies are 100% exactly where they ought to be as a biblical woman under the authority of God's word, when they are there, then it's a perfect picture of who God is. Why is the world confused? Romans 1, go to Romans. God had a perfect plan to display himself to the world. He made his creation. He sent his son. And he made male and female. Romans 1 is a bigger picture, and we don't have time to look through it all. You understand, I have referred you to it many times, and probably you've had other preachers refer you to Romans 1. I think that probably most of you understand Romans 1. Romans 1 starts off with some things, and then it digresses after verse 16, which he talks about the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And then he gets into some other things here, and we watch a spiral of people that knew God. They were created. They were standing where you are supposed to be. They're standing there, and they knew. Listen, everybody look up here. Listen to this. And I'm not asking you to look at me. Just listen. They knew. But they didn't choose it because they didn't like it. Start in verse 21. Because that when they knew God, we're talking about people that were right here. They glorified him not as God. No, he's not my authority. I don't understand why God has me here. I don't understand why God has me here. They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. But became vain, that means empty, void of God. They became vain in their imaginations. Hold on. I don't like this. Wouldn't it be nice to be over there? I don't like this. Wouldn't it be so much nicer to have that? Where it started. Their foolish heart. Because they were not thankful where God put them. They started imagining the way it would be like if I could, you know, it's always greener on the other side of the fence. I don't like it here. I don't like it here. What was the result? Their foolish hearts. And God called their hearts foolish. 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 But their heart was darkened. From this morning, their thoughts, their desires, their values, their decisions, their emotions. God started. They started to darken. Darken. Professing themselves to be wise. God's keeping something back. My life is not complete over here. I'm missing out. I don't have equal opportunity. I should be able to be used for this. I'm just as smart. I'm just as knowledgeable. I'm just as strong. I'm just as able. I'm going to put on a lot of miles going back and forth here. I should have clicked on my steps counter, you know, tonight. You get the picture. I don't have to keep going back each time. I mean, Each counterpart is looking at the other side saying, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. God doesn't know what he's doing. I don't like this. I don't like to be under him. I don't like the responsibility. Boy, I wish that I could have a career. Oh, I wish that I didn't have to go to work every day. So they became fools, verse 23, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, so they decided they didn't like God's plan, and really, you know, we could talk a lot about that verse, but really they decided that they wanted to have a God that they liked. I mean, remember when Moses is up on the mountain and Aaron is back with the people and God's not coming back and we need some, I mean, God's not here for us. Let's come up with something on their own. Everybody take off your earrings, take off your necklaces, take off this, let's do this, and whew, there he is, our God. I mean, foolish. Foolish. They changed God. Wherefore God, if that's what you want to do, gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. If you, ma'am, if you don't like it here, I want you here, but I'm not going to force you to stay here. I won't force you, ma'am, to stay there. I made you here to be a beautiful picture of me. But I'm not going to make you. Guys, I'm not going to make you. You know what? I put you here because this is a tremendous opportunity for the world to see who I am. But if you don't like it, I'm not going to make you stay there. I'm just not going to make you do it. You know, that's the beauty of God. God does not force us to do anything. You realize if God forced us to do something, he would get no glory. You know, if I want one of my boys to take out the trash and I grab them by the neck and I go and I stretch out their hands and I grab, you know, with them, grab the trash bag and I force them out, you know, do I at the end when it's out there at the road, do I get to say, wow, thank you, son. You really honored me. But if he on his own says, I know my dad wants the trash out, and I don't make him, and he goes and he does it, and he takes it out to the road and has it all ready to go, that brings me glory. Because he chose to do it. You see, it's a good thing. God does not force us. God does not make us stay. And he's not going to make us stay here. So God gives them over to uncleanness through the lust. He says, listen, if you want to lust after, if you don't like men, if you don't like it there, then I'm not going to make you stay. And they're not. And the ladies on the other side, lady, if you don't like it over there, I'm not going to make you. Okay, then thank you. And they take off. One step at a time. To dishonor their own bodies. You see, they replaced God and his way with their own. And now there's no law. Now they get to make their own rules. And they are. To dishonor their bodies, their own bodies between themselves. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, let's see how far I want to go. Verse 28, and for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. Now we're reading what we've already witnessed, right? You understand what this passage is saying? In a nutshell, it's saying, listen again. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. I want to be over there. I want to be over there. Okay. And they do. Even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And he goes on to list what those things are. They knew God. They knew His ways. However, they didn't glory in what God had done. They were not content with the way God made them. They were not thankful for the way they had been provided for. Rather, they imagined what they thought would be good, what they wanted, life on their own terms. Don't tell me about honoring my husband. Don't tell me about loving my wife. Don't tell me that I need responsibility. Don't tell me that I have to stay at home with these kids. Don't tell me that I've got to provide for you. Don't tell me that I can't, you know, do this in church. Don't tell me that I've got to be up in front. Don't tell me how I ought to appear before other people and what I ought to look like and how I ought to dress. Don't tell me. I will choose for myself what I want. That's the problem. But how did they get there? Did this just happen overnight? Did one night, this lady over here goes to bed, and the next morning, she woke up, and, you know, and she rubs her eyes. And she gets all that nasty sleep out of those eyes, you know, and she woke up over here. Did it happen overnight? Mm-mm. It was one step at a time. One tiny step at a time. There are a few areas of life that we want to look at. First of all, let's look at family. Let's throw into it responsibility, and let's even add work. It's kind of like, it's like Monday through Saturday life. Home, but at home, you know, I've got my wife. If I'm a male, I'm a female, I've got my husband. We're together. We live at home. He goes to work, I do this, whatever, she does this. Got the children, if there are. It's life. Biblical manhood. Right here. This is the perfect half picture of the image of God, right? Right here. You're still following this illustration? This is who God says to be. God has given the responsibility of the husband to, let's start basic, love his wife, right? Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives, right? All right, he's living right here, 100% biblical manhood, right here. Look at me, you know, I'm 100% man. Biblical man, loving my wife. One day I wake up and something is not done the way I like it. Something's a problem, whatever. And I'm to love my wife, but right now, right here and where I'm at, there's something that she is not lovely about, and I decide not to love her. Remember, love is a choice, right? I choose, as a biblical man, that I'm supposed to love my wife. I choose not to love her in this moment. Wife, why did you do that? I don't deserve that. Don't you know better? What did I just do? What did I just do? I did. I took a tiny little step outside of this little zone right here. Do you understand that? I took a tiny little step out. Am I far away? Am I desiring to be a woman right here? What's the answer? No. I'm not over. I didn't do this thinking, I just wish I was a woman. No, but all I did was I took what God says is 100% biblical man. I did, and I stepped out, and now it's just 99.9. And I went to work, and I came home, and the kids were waiting to go play with me. And when they came home, you know, work was tough today, and it was frustrating. And right away, you know, kid number one comes up to me and said, "Don't you understand I'm tired?" Do you know what I just did? I took another tiny little step. I'm not trying to be a woman, but I took a little step outside of what God wanted me to do, to be as a man. Now, I don't have 99 representations to where I work myself over there tonight. But do you see that baby steps, what are they doing to me? Now, let's freeze this guy. Now, we're talking about life. We're talking about Monday through Saturday. We're talking about the home. We're talking about work. We're talking about children. We're talking about responsibility. And now this lady is in 100% biblical womanhood. And she's here. And in the roles and responsibilities of life, this lady over here says, "I work hard every day. I work hard every day. I deserve a day off. I know my husband asked me today if he would make sure that I get the car to the mechanic so that he can get the oil changed. I know that, but you know what? He doesn't really deserve it. He's been grumpy. He's not been doing things. He's not been paying the bills. You know, I'm just making a bunch of stuff up. But he's not doing this. You know what? I really deserve a day for myself, and I'm not going to do it." That lousy rascal. What has this lady just done? She took a little baby step outside of where God made her. Now again, our time's already up and gone. What is going to happen here when this lady, she's making choices, right? And she responds to her children. And she wishes she could, I mean, honestly, this silly lady wishes she could go and take the place of her husband at work. She's like, you know, why does he get to have a career and I don't? You know, I'll just do this with my kids. I'll send them to somebody else and I'll go do this. You see, every time we take what God has given to us, whether it's over here or over there, and when we take steps. Now, think about this. When the guy's just taking steps himself, it's rather slow. And it is rather slow. When the lady's over here taking steps on her own, it's rather slow. But when you've got a male and you've got a female at the same time taking little baby steps, do you know what's happening? And eventually, as days goes on, there's little baby steps going just like this. And both of them are coming and they're getting closer. And you know what? After a little while, the people that are watching have no concept of what really a biblical man was. Because it's been years since they've seen a good picture of it. The world is looking, and they have no concept of what a 100% biblical, you know, godly woman was, because they haven't seen it for a long time, because we haven't been here for a long time. All they have to look at is us. And we're right here. And you know what's happening day by day? When we step out of God's will, when we're not obeying what a biblical man ought to be, when we're not obeying what a biblical woman ought to be, and right now we're just talking about in the home. We're talking about submission to the husband. We're talking about loving the wife. We're talking about raising our children and bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I don't have time to preach tonight on what a man ought to be and what a woman ought to be and what a child ought to be. But when we're not living what God wants us to be in just the area in the home, responsibility, work, Being keepers in the home, ladies. Taking care of the responsibilities here at home. Having, you know, fathers, having devotions with the children. Listen, when you don't have devotions with the children, you're taking a step outside of God's will. And every time that we don't do what God calls for a woman to do and what a man ought to do, we are taking steps this way. And what we're doing to this perspective is we are blurring, and we have no concept of what a man is. We have no concept of what a woman is. And ultimately, we have no concept of what? We have no concept of God. So you ask the question, how in the world is the world confused? I'll tell you. It's because God's people. It's not them. It's God's people who are made in the image of God. In His image made He them, male and female. When we are not being who God has made us be, we are blurring the lines. And that's why there's no concept of what they're supposed to look like. That's just in the area of responsibility. We could move on to the ministry. Are there different responsibility in the ministry that God has given to us? Yes. Are there specific things that ladies are supposed to do in church? Yes, there are. Are there certain things that men are supposed to do in church? Absolutely. Is there a place, as we look at the Word of God, that ladies know, I'm in the right spot, 100% biblical woman in the ministry? Yes, because God has given to us everything. And when you stay here, great picture of who God is. And when the men are over here and they are doing what they're supposed to do, by the way, in 1 Timothy, you know what the first thing is, men, that we ought to be doing? Praying. You want, when the men of the church are praying, you know what? We're a perfect picture of who God is. And when she's over there doing what she's supposed to do in church, and the men are here doing what they're supposed to do in church, guess what? The world looks on and they say, now there's what a lady's supposed to do. That's how she's supposed to act in church. That's what a man's supposed to do. Look at what he's doing. That's how a man's supposed to be. And there's our good, there's a big old God. Because that's the way he created for the world to see him. And we could talk a lot about the ministry and see that. And there are so many areas. We could go into the very sensitive and difficult area of appearance and how we look and how we present ourselves. Do you know that God created men to look like men? We look at the Word of God. Doesn't give us a lot of great detail, but there's a picture of what a man is supposed to present himself as. Be. And you know, as I live in that light, and as I be what everything that I take, and time doesn't permit tonight, but as I go through the Word of God and I see, okay, what does God's Word say about a man? And we take all of these things. And we pile them up, and you know what? There's going to be a compartment right here that's like, this is it. This is what I'm going to be, a man. And how I look, how I act, how I talk, how I dress. And the moment I choose to step outside and say, you know, I really don't like that. I don't like the limitation. I don't like this. I take a little step out. And another little step. And another little step. And you say, is that that big of a deal? I don't know. You know. And she's over here and study the Word of God and all that the Word of God says about what a woman should be like and how she should look. How she should present herself to her husband, to the world, how she should dress, how she should wear her hair, how she should wear whatever else on her, her adornment, her jewelry, whatever. As we go to the Word of God and we study that, you know what? There's a compartment right here of what a biblical woman ought to be. Every time that woman decides, you know what, I don't like this. I don't understand why I have to be over here, and I understand why he gets to do that, and he's over there saying, and I don't understand why she gets to do this. And you know, and every time we gripe and complain, and we choose, like, well, it's not that big of a deal because I'm way over here and she's way over there, and we take a little bit of a step. And we take another little step. And we take another little step. And we take another little step, and another little step, and another little step, and another step. And honestly, it's years and years and generations and generations and generations. And we get ourselves to 2024. Man is not standing beside woman. Man and woman are in the exact same spot. You can't tell any difference between the two. And no one has a clue who God is. And we're all looking at each other saying, how did we get there? And I know we're late, but I'm about ready to close. I'm just going to say this. It's not the world's fault that we're at where we're at today. God gave the responsibility to the church to display what a man is. God gave the church, ladies, the responsibility of what a lady is. God gave the church a responsibility to us of who God is. And every time we will not choose to take what God has given to us in this spot, whether it's leadership in our home, leadership at church, standing up for what is right, discipline before the rest of the family on being self-disciplined, and everything of what a man ought to be, strong and bold, and courage, meek, mild, humble, and everything. I mean, the Word of God, my friends, I want to tell you, don't think for a moment that, boy, this box over here is very poorly defined in the Word of God. My friend, I want to tell you, start studying the Word of God and you'll find out what a biblical man ought to be. Ladies, don't be deceived. Study the Word of God. You'll find out what a shamefaced, meek lady ought to look like that's reverencing her husband and honoring God. You study the Word of God. He'll show you what the truth is and how you ought to be. But I'll tell you what, we are so wishy-washy in our ways and we say, it's not that big of a deal. It's not that big of a deal. Why in the world are we here today? It's because we chose not to stay where we're supposed to be. It's our fault. It is not the world's fault that they are doing what they're doing today. It's our fault because we wouldn't take a stand, ladies, and being a lady, being a lady at home, being a lady at church, being a lady in our dress and appearance, we won't do it. No, we want what they have, and they want what she has. And so we start moving towards each other, and we blend the genders. And here we are. God has given us up to our vile affections. Go ahead, if that's what you want. Go ahead and do it. And we wonder why our kids in clubs don't even know who God is. As we close, here's the call to action. It's time that we go home and we begin thinking about the areas of life. Am I being 100% biblical man that God has called me to be in every area? By the way, men, you don't stand up and be the men. There's going to be something inside of that woman over there to rise up and take your spot. And I'll tell you, both are wrong. Men, you're not going to be the man in your home and stand up for what's right and be the one. You're not going to do it. She's probably going to rise again. Lady, I'm going to tell you something. You're going into wrong territory to fill his spot. But I'll tell you, it takes both. Men, husbands, fathers, it takes leadership. But it takes other people as well. It takes where God has placed us, given us the responsibility. Let's be what God has made us be, and maybe our world would start seeing who God is. Now you think, oh, it will never work. That's what the Word of God says. Go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1 tells us, the world can see me through genders. Father, would you please help us? Lord, this message is the tip of just starting. We didn't even have time to get into so much. But Lord, I prayed and asked you to help me say what needed to be said. Lord, I pray that you would begin to help us to begin thinking about where we're at and what we're doing, how we're acting, what we're saying, how we're talking, how we're responding, how we're living, how we're appearing, how we're dressing. God, I pray that you help us to return back to where you placed us so that we can be the picture to the world of what a woman is, of what a man is, of who God is. God, we need your help. Please help us. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray.